Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. We're so glad you're here, and we're going to study today. What are we going to study? Tell me. The Bible. Come on. The whole Bible. And what? Nothing but the Bible. And then we're going to apply it to our lives. And we're very excited about our study for today. It's a message full of hope and encouragement for us who are Christians and who know the Lord. And so we're going to pray first. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, illuminating our hearts and minds so that we can understand the Word of God. And so, Father, do that in our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Okay, well, remember, we're studying the Gospels, and remember, we're with Jesus on his journey to Jerusalem for the last earthly week of his life. And remember, he was going through Jericho. Remember the way that pious Jews went from the Sea of Galilee to Jerusalem. They crossed over to the east side of the Jordan River and then crossed back over at Jericho and then went up to Jerusalem. And in Jericho, Jesus has met two of our friends. He's met Zacchaeus. And he's met Bartimaeus. And I was talking to one of my friends just a couple days ago who saw the message on Zacchaeus. He's a grown man. And he said, I was singing the song with you. You know, I walk in Zacchaeus. You know, I'm on my way to your house today. And he said, it kind of impressed me that that message was kind of like a combination, he said, between seminary and vacation Bible school. I laughed. I thought, you know what? Yeah, maybe, sort of. But what difference does it make? We were still studying the Word of God. Now, today, Jesus is leaving Jericho, and he's on his way now up the 3,500 feet to Jerusalem and in 13 miles. So this is a climb. Anybody who thinks Jesus was a weakling, should go over there and walk these 13 miles going up 3,500 feet, and you'll understand Jesus was no weakling. So, but just as they're leaving Jericho, however, Jesus tells a parable to his disciples. And we're in Luke chapter 19, so I want you to go there with me, and we begin in verse 11. It says, "And as they heard these things, he, Jesus, added and spoke a parable. Look, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought, his disciples did and his followers, that the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore, he said." Now, this parable, therefore, has as its purpose in the context to teach his disciples and his followers that his coming is not going to be imminent when he gets to Jerusalem or when he is on the cross, but there's going to be a delay. There's going to be a chasm. There's going to be an interval between his crucifixion and when he comes in glory. And that's the point of the parable, as we're going to see. Now, he tells a very similar parable in Matthew 25, and I really want to use that one because it contains a couple of elements that Luke's parable doesn't. But it's essentially the very same parable. So in Matthew chapter 25, let's pick up verse 14. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. And right away he went on his journey." Okay, remember this parable is reminding his followers that he's not coming back right away. So this man goes on his journey. Who is this landowner? Well, he's Jesus, right? And he's away for a long time, which is the point he's trying to make. But there's some other great sub-points in this parable. Notice it says here that it says in verse 14 that he called his servants, delivered his goods to them, and gave them 5 talents, 2 talents, another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Now, notice he did not give the same amount to every servant. He assessed the ability of each servant, the talents, the natural talents and spiritual gifts of each servant, and gave to them accordingly. To the person who had extraordinary talents and abilities, he gave 5 talents of money. The talents he gave them were money, not acting or singing. It was money he gave them. And to the guy who had a little bit less talent and ability, he gave 2 talents. And to the final guy, 1 talent. Okay, that's very important for us to understand. Verse 16. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. Now, notice the guy who had 5 talents, who was a little more talented and had a little more gifts, got more actual production out of the money he was given. The second servant worked just as hard, but only got 2 talents worth of production because he didn't have all of the gifts and all of the abilities that the first guy had. You understand? He had received 1, verse 18, went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. This is the point of the parable in context. The master was away a long time before he came back, right? Okay, that's the point. But let's continue. And so he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Money, remember, look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And he who had received 2 talents came and said, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. And the master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. The same thing he said to the guy who gained 5. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Word for word, what he said to the guy who had made 5 extra talents. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours, the 1 talent. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked and slothful, lazy servant, you know that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I have not scattered seed. Therefore, you ought to have put my money with the bankers, and then at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Oh, okay. So what does Jesus say to this third guy? He says, wait a minute. You didn't use the talent I gave you to make profit for me, to make production for me. You hid it in the ground. And let's say you didn't have as much ability as the guy that I gave 5 talents to, or that I gave 2 talents to. Maybe you didn't feel comfortable going out and doing the kind of day trading that they did, and stock market trading they did, or whatever. You understand the imagery here. But the least you could have done is put it in the bank, so that at least I got minimal interest, but I got something. So I don't accept your explanation that you were just afraid to take risk with it. No, no. You could have put it in the bank where there was no risk, and you could have made money for me. So Jesus blows his excuse away. Now watch. Therefore, Jesus said, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have will be taken away even what he has. You say, what does that mean? I'm not 100% sure. I think it means that when we're using our gifts to serve the Lord, and we're using our ability to serve the Lord, that as we do that, God grants us even more ability, talent, grants us more, maybe opportunities to use that ability and talent, more open doors to make more interest in production for him. I'm not 100% sure. But the last part I got, look, verse 30, I got verse 30, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now that I got, that's not too hard to figure out. Throw him into hell. You say, well, now, wait a minute. If this was a follower of Jesus and he gets thrown into hell? No, he was not a follower. What he did with the talent revealed that he was not. Friends, there are three marks of a true follower of Christ that cannot be faked. Number one, the person who really gets born again and saved. Number one, they have a zeal for holy living, holy personal holiness in their life. Number two, this person has a deep concern for souls, for lost people, and for their eternal damnation, and is very concerned about reaching them. And number three, as we learn from this parable, a person who's really born again has a zeal for serving the Christ who saved him and bought him with his blood. This is just the way it is. When I got saved, I'm telling you, all three of these things came into my life. I had nothing to do with it. It wasn't because I brought them into my life. They came with the Holy Spirit and with my salvation. And I did have a passion to want to serve the Lord. In fact, I junked my chemistry career, which I was planning to follow when I got to UNC Chapel Hill. I was a chemistry major. I have a degree in chemistry. I junked that. And I said, I just want to serve the Lord. I just want to serve the Lord. Why? Because that's one of the great marks of salvation. A zeal for personal holiness, a zeal for lost souls, and a zeal for serving Christ. Now, the first two servants in this parable had a zeal for serving their master. They went out and they made five talents, the first guy, two talents, the second guy, and they were excited. It's clear in this parable to come show these talents to their master when he came back and say, look what I did for you, Lord. Look what I did for you. I'm so proud in the right sense of the word and pleased that I was able to do this for you and turn the talent and the ability that you gave me and the resources you put at my command, I turned them in to production for you, Lord. But the third guy did not have that passion. He didn't have any zeal to serve the master. He was slothful, the master said. He was wicked, the master said. He just put the money in the ground and went on about his business, and his business was not serving his master. Friends, he revealed, this third guy, that he was not intimately connected through salvation with the master, with Christ, like the first two servants were. Okay, now, I hope you've got those three things in your life, though, that zeal for personal holiness, zeal for lost souls, and zeal to serve the Lord. My friend, if you don't have those three things just emanating out of you, flowing out of you, bubbling up inside of you, something's wrong. You didn't get the real McCoy, folks, because everybody that I know, and the Bible supports this, that's ever come to truly come to Christ, they have these zeals. It's a package deal. These zeals come with salvation. So examine yourself to see if you're in the faith, Paul said, 2 Corinthians 13. Now, this is the end of the passage, and I might just point out here, would you notice the first two servants were rewarded for being faithful in little things. They were faithful in a little, and so what did God do? He gave them more. What did Jesus say here? He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been, verse 21, faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Folks, it is an eternal principle. Notice this, and we've talked about it before, that God doesn't start anybody off as a general. Everybody starts as a private. And the way more responsibility for ministry and more responsibility for serving Christ is increased is how faithful we are in the little things. If we're faithful in God's army as a private, we get promoted to private first class. And if we're faithful in serving God as a private first class, we get promoted to a corporal and then a sergeant and then a lieutenant and on and on and on. And the people that you see around you who have been given great responsibility for Almighty God, and they're admirals and generals in the army of God, people like Billy Graham was, these folks, Luis Palau and others, folks, they only are there because they were faithful in the little things. And so don't ever despise, my friends, the little things of God. If he only gives you a little responsibility, don't ever despise that and treat that with rejection and with almost like snobbery. No. God's watching. And if he can't trust us to be faithful in the little things, he's not going to give us greater things. I've told you the story before about cleaning toilets at the Good News Mission when I was a brand new Christian and complaining about it. And God said to me, Lon, if I can't trust you to clean toilets for me and do it well, how am I going to trust you to lead a church well? I'm not promoting you until you get the hang of this, which is you got to be faithful at every level I put you before you're going to go to any other level. Don't despise the little things in God's service. They're the doorway to greater things. If we're faithful. All right, now that's the end of our passage, but it's time to ask our most important question. Are you ready? Come on, here we go. 1, 2, 3. So what? Yeah, it is. And what am I going to say when the plane touches down in Israel on October the 5th? As I get off the plane, what am I going to say? Come on, like Jackie Gleason, how sweet it is. Oh, yes. May the Lord give me that grace and opportunity. Now, there's a wonderful lesson in here I don't want you to miss. And I want to go back to verse 19. After a long time, the master of those servants came back and settled accounts with them. And so he who had received 5 talents brought 5 other talents, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more besides them. And then look at verse 22. And he also who had received 2 talents came and said, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 talents more besides them. Now, what did Jesus say to each of them? Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things, so I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Word for word the same to the guy who gained 5 talents and to the guy who gained 2 talents. Do you see that? Now, what does that tell us? Friends, that tells us something so very important. It tells us that when it comes to rewards, God rewards us based on our effort, not based on our production. You understand? The guy with 5 talents had produced more than the guy with 2 talents. But God rewarded them exactly the same. He said the exact same thing of commendation to them because they had both put out the same amount of effort in serving the Lord. Now, we know that we get rewards when we get to heaven. And look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 very quickly with me. Verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stone, that's one category, wood, hay, and straw, stubble, that's the other category, each man's work will become manifest, visible, for the day, capital D, the day of the Lord's return, will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on the foundation, endures, he will receive a reward. Watch that. And anyone whose work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so through fire. Now, what's that telling us? Oh, it tells us you can't lose your salvation, even if your works after you get saved are all burned up because you didn't do anything for the Lord with your life, you still get saved. But if we build gold, silver, and precious stones, we build true service for Christ on the foundation of Jesus in our life, we're going to get a reward. All right. Now, would you notice back to Matthew chapter 25? Both the guy who had five talents and the guy who had two talents and produced five more and two more got the same reward, the same exact commendation. Now, why is that important? Because, folks, so often we look around and knowing that God's going to reward us, we say things like, oh, man, I'm never going to get the reward that Louis Palau's going to get. I'm never going to get the reward that Billy Graham is going to get. I'm never going to get the reward that Rick Warren is going to get or John MacArthur is going to get. Look at all they've done for the Lord. And look at me. I've done nothing. I mean, I've done what I've done. I mean, I've worked for the Lord. I've tried to serve him, but it's piddling compared to the impact these people have had. And when they come to present to the Lord what they've done, I'm going to have to come and stand next to him and present something much, much less than that. I taught Sunday school. I led a small group. I sang in the choir. I tried to use my money generously for the work of God. I went on a short-term missions trips. I went out and served as a missionary. I worked in the soup kitchen every weekend that was being run in the name of Christ. I worked in the clothing ministry every week that was being run in the name of Christ. But I don't have millions of people that have been touched by the purpose-driven life to present to Jesus. I don't have millions of people who've been touched by the messages of John MacArthur to present to Jesus, or millions of souls who come to Christ through Louis Palau and Billy Graham. No, my friends, that's not what the Bible teaches, I'm afraid. The Bible teaches that both of these servants put out equal effort, and both of them got equal commendation. God doesn't reward people based on how much production they accomplish. Because if he did, guy with five would be different than the guy with two. Now, there are other places in the scripture that seem to indicate that Jesus gave the five guy and the two guy differing responsibilities after that. You, the guy with five, you rule over five cities. The guy with two, you rule over two cities. Wait a minute, that's not rewards, that's responsibility. Yes, the guy with five obviously had more talent, personal talent, more ability, more giftedness, and he was capable of ruling over more cities than the other guy. That was a reflection of their ability, not their rewards. This is a reflection of their rewards. And that means that if you give equal effort to serving the Lord as Rick Warren, as John MacArthur, as Chuck Swindoll, God is going to treat you with the same commendation and the same reward, folks. And in fact, many people who are more devoted and more give more effort and deeper dedication to the service of Christ than John MacArthur or Rick Warren will get more reward than they. That prayer warrior who spends hours in her home or his home every day praying and just devoted to prayer. Hey, you know what? Nobody may ever see that on the outside, but God sees it. And if that woman or man devotes more effort in God's sight to serving him than some of these big name people, they're going to get more reward from God. It doesn't matter how much human production, this is my point, how much visible human production a person is able to present to God. What matters is the heart and how fully and how loyally and how deeply and how honestly and truly they have served Jesus from the heart. That's what God rewards, and that's what God cares about. So don't you get discouraged. I have a good friend who taught second grade Sunday school for like 24 years. He even ended up teaching some of the children of the people he had taught in the early years. They grew up mad children, and they were in the Sunday school class that the parents had been in. 22 years, every Sunday, he would come back from trips, early business trips, to make sure he was there for that Sunday school class. Every Sunday, my children were in his Sunday school class, and he had a maximum impact on them. He led more children to Christ in that Sunday school class than I could even begin to tell you about. You know what? No, when he presents that Sunday school class to the Lord, you know what? The people aren't going to stand around and go, oh, yeah, we heard about your Sunday school class. Oh, yeah, you know, John MacArthur and you produces it. No. John MacArthur did more on a human level. But that's not how God rewards. He rewards on a spiritual level, based on our heart and the devotedness of our service, not on the human production. So stop comparing yourself to other people based on human production and just start serving the Lord from your heart, my friends. And if your service is pure and if your service is loyal and holy, God will reward that. And that's what he'll be comparing you to John MacArthur about, or Rick Warren about, or Chuck Swindoll about. You understand? Okay. Serve the Lord from your heart with all you got. And I'll leave you with one of my very favorite verses in the whole Bible. I don't need the Bible. I know it by heart. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What a great verse. Why is your labor not in vain? Because Jesus is coming back, and he's going, 1 Corinthians 3, to reward you for that labor in heaven and for all eternity. That reward will be yours. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Whatsoever you do it, it's Colossians chapter 3, do everything heartily as unto the Lord. And this includes your secular job, your secular work. You do it heartily as unto the Lord. This is the job he put you in, and it will be rewarded, my friend. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for reassuring us today that we will be rewarded, not based on a comparison to other people and what they produced humanly for you, because that's up to you. That's your sovereign call. But Lord, we will be compared based on our heart, whether we did all things heartily unto you, the little things and the big things, whether we did them with devotion, whether we did them with holiness, whether we did them with loyalty, whether we did them, Lord, with integrity, and whether we did them with wholeheartedness unto Christ. So, Lord Jesus, help us to do all things heartily unto you, and help us be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. because we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen and amen. See you later, and God bless you.